Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mark Hasek Show on Roadkill Radio. I'm Mark Hasek. A recent research study published by Harvard professors found that women who have an induced abortion of a first pregnancy are 26% more likely to have a later baby with autism. Brent Rooney is a medical researcher from Vancouver and a research director with the Reduce Preterm Risk Coalition, an advocacy organization focusing on preterm risk factors. Brent, welcome, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mark.
Before we get into it, who authored this study exactly? Now, we know it's Harvard researchers or Harvard professors, but it was just a handful of them. Is that right? And what was its main focus?
Well, autism is quite a mystery.
Yeah.
They know some of the risk factors that have shown very good evidence, but they're always looking for other risk factors and see if they can validate the previous research.
When was this report released?
It's published online this year, but I don't believe it's been actually published in a hard copy publication yet.
So has it been peer-reviewed in journals, or is it just...
Yes, it has.
It has. Okay.
They wouldn't publish online if it hadn't been first peer-reviewed.
Okay. So for dummies like me, just set some definitions for us. Preterm, what does that mean?
A preterm baby is one born before 37 weeks gestation, and that implies higher risks of mental retardation, autism, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, blindness, deafness, serious infections, respiratory distress, and a bunch of other problems. It's a very serious problem. It's considered a major health risk in Canada and the U.S., although it's the preterm birth rate is higher in the U.S. It's about 12%, whereas in Canada it's somewhere between 8 and 9%.
And obviously an abortion is inherently preterm because you're ending the pregnancy.
That's true, but the question is, if a woman has had an induced abortion in a previous pregnancy, does that increase risk of a preterm birth later on? And the evidence is overwhelming that it is. In 2009, it became settled science that a previous induced abortion increases the risk of breast cancer, increases the risk of a preterm birth. And one of the researchers showing this is a Dr. Prakesh Shah from University of Toronto.
Yeah.
And he took data from 37 prior studies, and he did his calculation, and he found that if a woman had exactly one previous induced abortion, she increased the odds of a preterm birth by 36%. But if she had more than one prior induced abortion, she almost doubled her risk of having a preterm birth.
Okay. Now, this Harvard research study is saying, grudgingly probably, that women who have an abortion are 26% more likely to give birth to an autistic child than someone who doesn't have an abortion. Is that the general gist of it?
That's the gist of it.
What's been the reaction in the medical community to this study? I mean, this seems like pretty big news to me.
Well, Tom Blackwell has just published a little
Who's that,
item.
Tom Blackwell?
Tom Blackwell of the National Post, he's published
an
item. And, recognizing this study, I believe that very few people are aware of the study right now.
Now,
actually, in a given year, there are tens of thousands of studies, and only a small fraction of them get any degree of publicity.
Now, the information about abortion leading to autism, I mentioned grudgingly, the information about abortion leading to autism was buried within this report. It was a lone stat on a statistical chart. Is that right?
No, that's not correct.
Oh, that's not correct? Okay, clear that up for me.
Well, if you look at the first paragraph of the results section, the authors of the study say that women who have more prior abortions, miscarriages, and various other factors have higher risk of autism. So it was mentioned there once in the results section, and then the only other place, I believe, is actually in a table.
Okay, well, my point is, why wouldn't the title of the report include the terms autism and abortion? Shouldn't that be the breaking news here?
Well, if you're researching and if you want to further your career, there are certain politically correct things you either want to not even talk about or downplay. So I actually give these authors a lot of credit for even mentioning it. Huh. So let me give you an example from back in 2002. This is a study by Swedish researchers about cerebral palsy. And they buried in a table the fact that if a woman had a prior induced abortion, she increased the risk of having a newborn with cerebral palsy by 60%. And it was only in a table. So I give credit to these Harvard researchers for even mentioning it and even just putting it in a table. Most researchers don't even ask the question of whether abortion can increase the risk of autism.
Okay, why do you think there's that kind of chill among the research community to essentially slant things into a pro-choice narrative?
Because they've been taught their lesson. For instance, there was a researcher, Malcolm Pike. I forget the year. It might have been in the 80s or 90s. And they came up with a study that showed that if a woman had a prior induced abortion, she increased the risk of breast cancer. And if you want to get funding in the future, and if you don't want to get attacks by your fellow researchers and the public, you don't even talk about this. So, for instance, back in 1999, there was a study by Professor Larry Bird. Sounds like the basketball star, but this is a Larry Barry. Larry
was
Bird
Moses
professor.
Malone involved in that study? Or?
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Okay, let me talk about the 1999 study. And this study by Professor Bird found that if a woman had prior induced abortions, she tripled the risk of having an autistic child. Now, this is a 1999 study. Did you see that in the headlines of any newspaper?
No, and I've written about autism in the past, and no one has ever told me that abortion could lead to autism.
Let's talk about mechanism. Now, if you say abortion may cause increase the risk of autism, people, yeah. Well, what's the mechanism? Well, there's very strong research that shows if you have a preterm birth, such a baby has a higher risk of autism. And in fact, if it's extremely preterm, under 28 weeks, according to research done by Dr. Chichopoulos, Catherine Chichopoulos of McGill University, extremely preterm birth newborns have about 25 times the risk of autism as a full-term baby being at least 37 weeks gestation. So that is just one mechanism, and there's another mechanism is infection. It is a very extremely rare consent form that, for abortion that does not admit to the risk of infection. So here you have two risks, preterm birth and infection, and let me give you a third risk. The older a woman is when she has a delivery, the higher risk of autism. And if a woman, say, has at least two induced abortions, she more than doubles her risk of having a maternal age of over 34. This is according to a 2001 study done in France. So here you have three mechanisms, age, increased maternal age, infection, and preterm birth.
Brent Rooney is a medical researcher from Vancouver and a director with the Reduce Preterm Risk Coalition. Now, Brent, in 2008, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you note in a study that vacuum aspiration abortions. First of all, tell us what that is.
It's what it's referred to as suction abortion. It was invented by the Chinese, and it was announced in 1958 in the Chinese Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And
so tell us how it works.
I'm not an expert on the exact technique, but the active element is called a suction curette. It's a long tube, and it's got a sharp edge on the end. And anyway, the baby is sucked out. However, before it's complete, those sharp tips at the end of the cannula are used to scrape the lining of the womb. Because if that's not done, the risk of infection is higher.
Now, in your 2008 study, you showed that this has never been safely tested on animals, let alone humans. So it's still a dangerous procedure, correct?
That's true. The 1958 study in China, it mentioned the subjects. And who were the subjects? Were they like guinea pigs or rats or kangaroos or gorillas? No, they were 300 Chinese women. And this study is rather strange in that, well, this study was translated by the British Medical Journal in 2008 into English. Now, if this translation is correct, there are no citations in the entire study, which I find very strange. I can't think of any other study I've ever read that doesn't have citations of previous studies done. Hmm. And anyway, the subjects were 300 Chinese women, And the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood, back in 2007, I asked them, do you have any animal studies for vacuum aspiration abortion? And they said they would get back to me, but they got back to me with three human studies. And I told them, well, those are human studies, animal studies. And they said, well, we can't help you. So the Alan Guttmacher Institute have admitted that they have no animal studies. And the burden of proof is on the abortion advocates to show they have these animal studies, because the Nuremberg Code, which was promulgated in 1947, the third principle there is, before you apply a new medical treatment, a surgery or drug, to a human being, you first have to test it on animals. And you can ask any abortion advocate, show me the animal study, and they can't cite it. They can huff and they can puff, but they cannot cite the study.
And Planned Parenthood, of course, a premier abortion provider in the world, they're not going to be giving that up anytime soon. So let's get to the nut of it here. If abortion is so risky for the mother and can lead to future problems with future pregnancies, why is it so popular? Shouldn't the medical community in Canada and elsewhere be doing everything to discourage abortion? I mean, I know that's how you feel. You're a pro-life guy. You're upfront with that. I believe it's a cruel, cruel procedure. I am proudly pro-life. Why doesn't the medical community in this country step up and recognize all these facts?
Well, it's a four-letter word, fear. If you come out about if you tell the public about the risks of abortion, primarily breast cancer and preterm births, you're going to be attacked. You're an anti-choice. You're an anti-woman person. Where, in fact, your opponents, they're the unethical people. It is unethical to apply a procedure that hasn't been safety validated on animals to humans. This is according to the Institute of Medicine. It's in a book. It's in the Vancouver Public Library. It's called Science, Medicine, and Animals. And basically they say it's unethical to not first test a new medical treatment on animals before it's tested on humans.
Well, it seems to me that these studies, particularly the latest Harvard study, that finds a link between abortion and autism, could be used down the line, down the road, for a legal case against abortion. Do you see it that way?
Well, let me tell you about it. There actually has been a case already, and it involved cerebral palsy. But however, it was in Australia, and because it's Australia, it's almost like it was on planet Mars. But in 2004, there was a settlement of a case against Alan Kay, an obstetrician. He was accused by Christy Bruce of improper obstetric care leading to her cerebral palsy. But Dr. Kay defended himself by saying it wasn't my obstetric care for Christy Bruce, who was born in 1989, and currently has cerebral palsy. He said it wasn't his obstetric care, but the previous induced abortions of Christy Bruce's mother. But the judge, Michael Grove, bought Dr. Kay's argument and found Dr. Kay innocent.
Okay.
So here's Christy Bruce. She's in a wheelchair. She can't speak. She has cerebral palsy. In effect, the judge was, in fact, implying to Christy Bruce, you sued the wrong person. It was the previous induced abortion doctors that caused your cerebral palsy.
Well, it's certainly a compelling issue, and we're glad that you're on the case. Brent, thanks for joining us today, and good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Brent Rooney, a researcher from Vancouver who focuses on preterm risks and pregnancies. I'm Mark Hashik. You're watching Roadkill Radio. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.